smiled on me. He's been good. Point to yourself and say, to me. Oh, God. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God. Oh, smiled on me. And I know without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, he's been good. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Over and over, he's been good. Oh, yes, good to me. Can I sing one more time? God has smiled on me. He has set me free. Oh, God has smiled. To me, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. Is that anybody testimony tonight? I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. Now I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me. Now I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. See, when I look back over all he's done for me, I realize you are the one that held on to that I can't say. Never could have made it. No, 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 no. Never could have made it. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Without you, I would have lost it all. Hell, anybody ever wanted to lose it all? But now I see, hey, how you were there for me. Now I can't say I'm stronger. Oh, I'm wiser. Said that I'm better. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Said I'm much better. See, I made it. You ought to look at somebody down your row and tell them, I made it. Yes, Lord. Said that I made it. Yeah. Oh, never could have made it. Never could have made it. I'm stronger. I like that part. See, people try to tear you down, but they don't realize that you're wiser. You're much better. Hey, you're much better than yesterday. You're much better than last year. You're much better than last month. Oh, 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 oh. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. Yeah. My soul is resting. Hey. And it's just a blessing. Can anybody help me sing it? Praise the Lord, yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm free. If you know you're free, you ought to give God praise in this place. Come on, before the word comes forth, come on, lift your voice and give him praise. If you made it through the storm, give him praise. If you made it through the rain, give him praise. If he spared your life, give him praise. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory.
Simply because he's worthy. Yeah. There's something about a song that ministers to the depths of our beings. Amen, somebody. How many of you really love Jesus tonight? And you're not ashamed to let the world know that you love him. I mean, just deep down in your socks, you just love him. Come on, your shoes don't get in the way of how much you really love him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. My good friend's son, Brother Minister Jesse Prather, is in the house. His father is not just my good friend, but Brother Jesse Prather is also my good friend. Amen. And just happy to see him on tonight. Give it up again for Pastor Michael Lampkin, the angel of St. Louis. In some circles, he's known as Baby Lampkin. I don't know if he wanted y'all to know that, but some folk call him Baby Lampkin. You didn't know I knew that one, did you? Yeah, Baby Lampkin. Yes, yes. I tell you, I love Jesus. I love him with my whole heart. Anybody else love him with your whole heart? Just a little short praise everybody knows. It says, I love you. You know that? I love you. I love you, Lord. Today, 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 because you cared for me. In what? Help me. In such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. Magnify your name. Yes, I do. That's why. Come on, you can just stand all over the auditorium and help. This is your song. Just one more time. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Everybody, get those hands up and just worship him. This is your love time for him. I love you, Lord, today, today, you cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name, yeah. My heart is filled with praise. Now, I like this little part right here. We can really express it. My heart. Belongs to you, belongs to you. Oh, you paid the price, you paid the price for me. Yeah. Calvary, oh, I praise you. pray. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. My heart, that's why I'm wonderful, Jesus. That's why my heart Jesus. I'm in the book of Ephesians one more time, just for a brief moment tonight. Those of you who were with us on last night, you know that the Lord spoke to us out of this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And last night, just for your consideration, those of you who are standing, we'll do this very quickly. I want to read verse number 17, if you don't mind, because we're pushing in the direction of that the text is taking us. May Christ, out of the Amplified Bible, it says, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, that is to say, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love, and founded rather securely on that love. Verse 18 says that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. Please be seated. On tomorrow night, we're going to climax this passage of scripture. On last night, we dealt with Bishop Ward, we dealt with the message of the mystery. The message of the mystery. And we shared with you, and I'll just rehearse this briefly. We shared with you how important it was for the Apostle Paul to declare that he had a word from God. A word that had not been revealed yet to the masses. A word that dealt with a certain realm of revelation that was to bring into oneness, to bring into unity once and for all those who believe on the Lord Jesus. I think it's important for us to recognize that God is doing a wonderful thing in the earth. And I just wish that man would stop fighting the advance of God. When the Apostle Paul was commissioned by man to destroy the body of Christian believers, you remember, don't you, when he was commissioned to take into chains, to take into captivity all who called upon the name of the Lord. Saul of Tarsus was known as the persecutor of the brotherhood. He was the destroyer of the Christian community. But on the road to Damascus, the word of the Lord says that he met with God along the way. And in meeting with God on that Damascus journey, the destroyer became destroyed. Fell to the earth, stricken with blindness. But yet his head was ever so inclined toward heaven, and the question was raised out of the depth of his soul, huh? Who art thou, Lord? Well, now, Saul was really responding to a question that was posed to him out of the divine nature of God. God questioned Saul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Man, don't you know that it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And that's where I'm settling tonight on how man is, even in this hour, Brother Jesse, still kicking against the advance of God, the move of God. I'm here tonight to declare that God is moving the church toward resurrection morning. I say God is moving the church toward that great getting up morning. Somebody said, fare thee well, fare thee well. And because God is moving the church in the direction of the great catching away, it is incumbent upon those of us who preach and teach the gospel to make sure that we let you religious people know you need to get out of God's way. Because when God moves, he moves with great and sometimes devastating measure. In the text tonight, I want to really draw from the seventh verse forward. It is in the seventh verse of this text that I draw tonight's inference of the mystery. Tonight, I want to share with you some words concerning the fellowship of the mystery. Tomorrow night, we'll talk about the love of the mystery. So we'll take last night, the message of the mystery. Tonight, the fellowship of the mystery. And then tomorrow night, we'll tie them together and talk about the love of the mystery. You might remember. Now, I'm going to ask you frequently to come with me. The word says, come, let us reason together. I don't want to stand here tonight and simply tell you what's on my mind. I don't want to stand here tonight and just converse with you on matters or on issues that impress upon my soul. But I want us to have an exchange of divine fellowship. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks something that agrees with your knowledge of him, just simply fellowship with me. You know, fellowship with me. Assent to what you know to be true. So in the text, Paul begins to explain to the Gentiles that the message of the ministry or the message of the mystery that I've already shared with you, first in writing and now in preaching, is to prepare you for a new dimension of relationship. You see, the Gentiles and the Jews had been dissenting for centuries. They had been fighting against God's plan and God's move to bring about a unified body. You have to understand that from the beginning of time, the adversary of the Christian faith, the devil, if you please, the accuser of the brethren, has always sought to bring about a spirit of disunity and fraction in the body of Christ. We talked last night on denomination being a mathematical term, denom meaning to divide, and nation meaning the people. It has always been the devil's intent to divide God's people. And so tonight I've come to declare unto you that God will not have his plan thwarted, not even by a cunning and crafty adversary. Well, you remember the Apostle Peter, before he had been elevated to the apostolic ascension, the Bible said that Jesus had a bit of a conversation with Peter. And he said, Peter, 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 don't you know that the adversary, don't you know that the devil desires to sift you as wheat? He said, but you must resist that dividing. You must resist that sifting. You must resist that fractioning of your spirit man and the body of Christ. But this is what he said. He said, but when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So you see, God has always had a move toward the resurrection by first breathing life into the body of man, breathing life into the human family. I'm preaching right now. Now come here for a moment and look at the fact that the Apostle Paul is declaring to a fractional people. He's declaring to a disenfranchised people that the God that created the heavens and the earth is a God of unity, and he's bringing the family, come on, into a new body. Listen. The church of the living God has always been in the mind of the living God. Oh, help us here tonight, somebody. The Gentiles and the Jews had been bickering and fighting since the days of the Amorites and the Hittites. Oh, since the days of the Jebusites. Come on, anybody praying with me. And the Perizzites. It has been an ongoing conflict since the days of Israel and, if you please, the Philistines. But you'll remember that even during those days of conflict, God has always allowed Israel to choose its own champion. Goliath is on the opposing team. But the Bible said that Israel is now called upon to choose a champion. I'm trying to get you to see that God has designed fellowship into the mystery. See, the mystery simply deals with that which was not known the other day. But God has brought it into manifest reality tonight. You didn't know that that sister was messing around with your old man yesterday. But tonight, it's, come on here, a revelation. It was a mystery on last evening, but it's a revelation tonight. Can I get some help up in here? The first thing we need to understand about the fellowship of the mystery is that the true meaning and understanding of fellowship hinges upon the word administration. So what Paul is really saying is, let me explain to you the administration of the mystery. Now, that brings us to a somewhat superficial discussion of the Holy Ghost. Now, you might want to say the Holy Spirit, but I prefer saying the Holy Ghost. Or maybe I'll just simply say it brings us to a confrontation of the matter concerning the Spirit of the living God. So you see, it really doesn't matter whether you say the Holy Ghost or whether you say the Holy Spirit or whether you say the Spirit of the living God. It's all about the divine plan to destroy, y'all ain't praying with me, to destroy the power that separates and divides the family of God. The Israels, as we said last night, walked the earth living in a position of privilege. And because of that privileged position,
They kept up most of the mess that kept the family of God disunited. But Paul said, now let's talk about the mystery. There is a mystery here that God has kept from the men and the women of the earth. And the mystery and the secret that God kept under wraps concerned a body after death. Ain't nobody praying with me now? I said, we're talking about the mystery of a body after death. You all know that the gospel message is really a simple message. It is a message of simplicity in that Jesus was born, but Jesus died. Jesus died, but he was buried. He was buried, but he went into hell. See, we get confused over what the gospel is. We think that the gospel is the good news that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again. Baby, you got to push on further from there. You got to look at the fact that Jesus was born. That was a mystery there. How in the world can a baby be conceived when no man has touched his mother? Let's talk about that mystery. And what good news, come on here, comes out of, come on here, a situation of confusion. How in the world can you say to me that you've not known a man? How in the world can you say you're pure and you've never been touched? See, so let's not just get hung up on the gospel dealing with his death. He had to get to Calvary, you know. He had to be born before he could die. He had to live before he could die. Can I get a witness here? In the temple at 12 years of age, Jesus dealt with a mystery that the scribes, the Pharisees, and the doctors could not deal with. Can I get some help up in here today? And when Jesus at 12 years of age got done explaining a mystery, what the doctors didn't know that morning was revealed that afternoon. Yes, sir, have mercy. I got to press on here because I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul said that this is my life's work. Yes, I may have been what I have been, but tonight let's talk about what I am doing. I'm dealing in my life's work. I'm helping people to understand the mystery. But it goes a bit further than that because I need to help you to respond to the message. Can I get some help up in here? See, so now that involves fellowship. You know, there's no fellowship when I'm at home by myself, watching TV all alone, eating my Jiffy popcorn or my Orville Redenbacher, come on here, microwave popcorn all by myself. Oh, but when my grandbabies climb the steps and jump up in the seat with me and say, Papa, can I have some? Come on, fellowship begins. Hallelujah. I want you to know that there is joy in the fellowship. There is great excitement when we learn some stuff. You know, I didn't know that. I'm glad I know that now. Because now that I know better, maybe I'll act better. Now that I know better, maybe I'll be better. Come here for a minute, because Paul said, I want you to understand the mystery, and I want you to have fellowship in this mystery. Paul said, it came as a sheer surprise to me. He said, I woke up and I didn't know the mystery myself. But when I got done looking things over, he said, all of my good days. Y'all, no, he didn't say that. Paul Jones said that. I'm sorry. He didn't say that. When Paul got done looking at the mystery, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know why God chose me to be the bearer of this mysterious message. He said, because after all, I am the leastest of the least. That's what he really said in the Greek. I'm the lesser of the least. You know, one scholar said that the Apostle Paul made up a word in order to really describe what he was experiencing. At the time before this writing, there was no such word in the Greek as the leastest or the lesser of the least. So Paul made up this word in order to drive home the importance of divine reality. I'm trying to come to a close here. But Paul said, listen here, when it came to presenting the message to the people of God, when it comes to telling folk that it's time to live right, when it comes to telling folk that you got to quit lying and backbiting, when it gets around to telling people that you got to quit hoeing and shacking, y'all ain't playing with me. He said, who am I to tell somebody else what they ought not do? He said, who am I that I'm going to tell somebody else how to live for God? But it came to him as a part of the mystery that it is because of the imperfection of man that God can perfect his message. You see, in other words, God chose an alcoholic such as myself to preach to alcoholic souls. I said, God chose a whoremonger such as myself so that I could tell the prostitute on Red Light Row that God will save to the uttermost. Jesus saves. They need to know that he will pick you up. They need to know that he will turn you all around. They need to know that God will place their feet on a solid ground. Somebody say yeah. Say yes. Now, Paul uses this word to describe the fellowship of the mystery. But really, he was discussing the administration of the mystery. And I told you about 17 minutes ago that Paul was really talking about the work of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness up in here? Now, in order for you to know what I'm talking about, the first thing I need to tell you is that Paul defined the purpose of this mystery. He said God has given this mystery to really let the body know how he operates, how he works. And so Paul says this is how God works, in case y'all don't know. He works in the secret. And then not only does he work in the secret, but he, y'all ain't gonna understand this until you read your Bible, but God works in the dark. I'm going to show you something. See, because I can already feel some of you religious idiots who say, oh, no, that ain't God. Yeah, I'm going to tell you in a minute that God not only works in the secret, he not only works behind the scenes doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But so very often, if not most of the time, God works in the darkness in order to bring about the revelation of himself. Let me see if I can get some help. Now, you got to come here for a minute to study this one with me. Genesis 1 and 1 said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. Wait a minute. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved in the midst of the darkness. I said, the Spirit of God moved in the midst of the darkness. That's why when many of you got saved, it was in a dark corner, in a dark hall, in the midst of a dark deed. But when Jesus came into your life, he came in the midst of your darkness. Can I get some help up in here? But wait a minute. He'll come to your dark situation. He'll move in your dark life. He'll move upon your dark mind, your dark and dingy heart. And I hear David saying, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Can I get some help up in here? I hear David saying that I was in a dark place, and it was so dark down here that I cried and I cried. I cried all night long, but I just couldn't be contented until I found the Lord. Well, it wasn't David finding the Lord, but it was the Lord finding David. David was in a place so dark he could not even see his reflection in the water, in the mirror. But God, y'all don't hear me, he knows where you are. God, he knows where you live. God, he knows what you're doing. Yes, and he knows how to find us no matter what we're doing. He knows where to find us, no matter even if we're hiding. But wait a minute, God doesn't just stop there. We're doing a secret work in the midst of a dark situation. But the Bible said that after God moved upon the face of the deep, I hear him speaking now. It's called the divine fiat. He's moving now. And now he quit moving long enough to say something. And God said, let there be light. Y'all don't hear me. Over in John 1, it said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Or rather, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There was nothing made that was made that was not made by him. And then it goes on to say, in him was life. And the L-I-F-E became the L-I-G-H-T of men. Yes, 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 yes. But this is the part I like. What good is light if you don't use your eyes to see what's in the light? We beheld his glory. I say we beheld. And that's what Paul is talking about. Behold the glory of God. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So what I'm saying is that Paul is sharing with us that God works in the dark. He works secretly behind the scenes in order, come on y'all, watch me now, in order to develop the mystery of fellowship. Yeah. See, fellowship It's a mysterious thing because it's good. And if it's good, we don't want it. That's why so many women, y'all listen to me carefully, women. That's why so many women ain't happy unless they got a no good man. Slapping them around. But fellowship is good. But you got to understand the administration of the fellowship. It's to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light. It's to bring you out of error into righteousness. It's to bring you out of deviant behavior into upright. Come on here. Can I get some help right quick? I said, can I get some help right quick? I said, the Holy Ghost. I mean, when the Holy Ghost has you, will bring your deviant and your ungodly persona up out of the grave of darkness and put you on resurrection ground. I don't think I have to go any further with that for you to understand. But just in case, I might have to go a little further. Just a little further. Come on here. God can't save you. And you stay a sissy. Because God will change your deviant behavior. Wait a minute. I don't want the brothers to get offended. Because I said sissy. You can't get saved and stay a... No, I got another word here, but let me think what it is. You can't get saved and remain an Ellen DeGeneres. Something has got to change in your life. The Holy Ghost is your change. Not only does the Holy Ghost bring you out of the darkness. Now what you got to understand is the Holy Ghost leads you out. The Holy Ghost guides you out of the darkness. But he won't get behind you and push you out. Administration of the Holy Ghost involves destroying the myths concerning the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost, as I said last night, that makes you run up and down the aisles backwards blowing spit bubbles in another language. That's you. The Holy Ghost has a higher and nobler purpose than making you flip over benches and tear pantyhose up. Ain't nobody praying with me now. The Holy Ghost does more than make you speak in tongues. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I don't fight speaking in tongues nowhere I go. Because when I grew up at Friendship Baptist Church, Mother McNeese was speaking in tongues when I was 8 years old. So don't tell me that Baptist folk don't speak in tongues. Y'all ain't praying with me. It was in 1969 in the state of Alaska, the city of Fairbanks, at the Brotherhood meeting of the First Corinthians Missionary Baptist Church, that the brothers prayed over my alcoholic condition and they spoke in tongues over me till I got saved. See, so one of the myths that we have to destroy about the Holy Ghost is he doesn't just administrate in the Pentecostal movement. Whatever that is. I said the Holy Ghost does not just operate in the Church of God in Christ. The Holy Ghost doesn't just operate and manifest himself in the apostolic church. I got the Holy Ghost in a Baptist church. Let me destroy a quick myth here. Listen, I didn't leave the Baptist church to find Jesus. Because Jesus was not avoiding the Baptist church. I didn't have to leave the Baptist church to find Jesus. I didn't leave the Baptist church and then go somewhere and get saved. I got saved in the Baptist church. I'm still in the Baptist church. Ain't nobody praying with me. I'm going to destroy a couple of myths here as I move on. God is not coming back for the Baptist church. He's not coming back for the holiness church. I'm talking about nomenclature now. But he's coming back for the church. Without spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish or any such thing. And that church is the same church that he declared upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the church. I said, that's the church that I'm a member of. You may not want me in your organization, but you need to understand I don't need to be in your organization because I belong to the organism, and that's a living thing. I just want to destroy one or two more myths, and then I'm done. I'm done with the myths. You need to understand, please understand with me tonight, that the Holy Ghost is not a religion. The Holy Ghost is not a religion, and receiving the Holy Ghost is not particular to a certain race, creed, color, nation, assembly, or people. When the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all assembled in Jerusalem, the Bible says they were in one place having an accord of mind. Are y'all following me? And then the word of the Lord says that there came a sound from heaven. It didn't say that the sound emanated from out of Rome. The sound did not come from Memphis. I ain't trying to get on nobody's. The sound didn't come out of Bethesda Temple. But there was a sound that came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like an under fire. And it sat upon each of them. And then they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now let me destroy a myth. I can't stand over you, whisper in your ear, and then you start speaking in tongues. Let me help you out. I can't tell you what words to speak and then you receive the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues. I had a preacher one time ask me to teach him how to speak in tongues. I said, I first need to teach you, brother, how to speak in English. Then we'll talk about speaking in other tongues. Now, what I want you all to understand, what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell, what fell with the Holy Ghost was revelation. That's the mystery. See, now, that's the mystery. Because when the tongues fell, it fell with revelation anointing. How in the world is it that we hear these Medes and these Parthians and, come on here somebody, these Persians, how is it that we hear them speaking in a... Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I can't touch that tonight. That's on the love of the mystery. But the myth must be destroyed. It must be destroyed. And I'm finna really make somebody mad. I don't care who I make mad, because I'm sanctified to the bone. I'm a holiness preacher to the bone. I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost from the top of my head to the soles of my feet and everywhere in between. Now, if that doesn't answer your question, I'm sorry. Now, I'm holiness all the way. I'm just as much holiness as I am Baptist. I was raised in the Baptist church. I was raised in holiness. I had great influence. Hello, somebody. My mama was a Methodist. My daddy was a Baptist. My mama and daddy got married and started a new fellowship. My great-granddaddy was Church of God in Christ. His wife, my great-grandmother, was a black witch. They got married and started a different fellowship. I'm just telling you, too. I'm telling you where I came from. But I came by to let you all know tonight, yes, I'm holiness. Yes, I'm Baptist. Yes, I'm Methodist. Yes, I'm apostolic. Yes, I'm Presbyterian. Yes, yes, I'm Catholic. Yes, I'm Muslim. So tonight I greet you in the name of the most beneficent. I greet you in the name of peace. And in Arabic we say, As-salamu alaykum. Now you ain't going to hear me slip up and say Allah not once. Because the name of my God. What shall I call him? His name is Jesus. See, now I part ways with all of y'all. See, I'm going to go with the Baptists so far, and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go with the Muslims so far, and I'm going to leave them at Allah. I'll go so far with your brother Jesse. Come on here in the Kojic, and I'm going to leave you. I can only go so far with the apostolics, and then I got to put them down. Because when it gets down to the brass roots of it, I've got a charge. Thank you, I'm sorry. And my charge doesn't have anything to do with the bishop. Huh? The Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you. Huh? But he won't make you do anything. Now, I got to say this, and I must quit. God, I'm fixing to destroy myth. God does not care what church you go to. I said, God doesn't care what church you belong to. You need to care. After all, he ain't got but one anyhow. You know. Now, I thought about this one day, and I said, now, God, how come you didn't let me be born in a society, a society of polygamy? I'm just straight up. I had that thought. I said, Lord, how come I couldn't have been born in one of those cultures where the man could have many wives? Because I felt like I could handle it. Hey, hey, bless him. I felt like I could handle it. See, I'm not playing up here. I'm trying to tell you all what people process in their minds. And they're afraid to tell anybody else about it. But I said, Lord, how come I wasn't born where I could have more than one wife? And you know what God said to me? He said, I don't want you to have but one wife because I ain't got but one wife. He said, I want you to be like me. I don't want you to be like others. I want you to be like me. I don't want you to be like the other kings of the land. Yeah. Okay. I've gotten hot enough to quit. I'm just gonna quit.
Because a couple of times, preacher, I was ready to rap back. Ah, yes, sir. But I got hot up here. See, now, if this was one of these churches where I could preach like I preach at home and dress like I dress at home, I don't wear suits to my church. Jesse, you know what I'm talking about. Look up, stand up, Jesse. Jesse looked like one of my elders in my church on a Sunday morning. You watch my TV broadcast, you see me standing up there in a shirt and blue jeans and sometimes raggedy run-over shoes, don't make no difference. I got to be comfortable when I preach. So since I've been here, well, I ain't wearing no suit tomorrow night because I preach tomorrow night, but I got hot up in here. And when I get hot, I have to quit. I had a stroke preaching in the heat one time. Yes, I did. I had a stroke preaching in the heat, and I said I would never preach again and get hot. But tomorrow night, I'll have on my walk suit. I'll be comfortable tomorrow night. I may not preach worth a lick tomorrow night, but I'll be cool and I'll be comfortable. Woo, because tonight I'm hot. Just put your hands together for the pastor. I'm quitting right now.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's stand and we recognize and thank God for our messenger on tonight. Amen. We just give God praise. We give God praise. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and say hallelujah? Can we lift our hands and say hallelujah? Amen. After such a powerful word, before you sit down, there may be someone that came in and you're not sure whether if you, the scripture says absent from the body means present with the Lord. But if you're not sure where you would be going, then the doors of the church are open right now. If you're not sure of the fellowship, then the doors of the church are open for you right now. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. We ask you to come. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Will there be another tonight? Will there be another tonight?